It's hard to believe that gardening can be part of our conversation, but it certainly can, especially on Tuesday mornings with Tom Casper, a master gardener and the past president of the Duluth Garden Flower Society and our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, Tuesday mornings here on Northland Morning. Here's Tom Casper right now. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Chris. I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Just fine. So here's a question for you, and I'm putting on the spot, but when winter first sets in and we get all this snow and maybe we haven't had enough of a freeze yet for the ground to really seize up and become hard, does the wet snow that we get, do drizzly days like this that seep into the snow and kind of get it all heavy and wet and dense, does some of that water get into the ground before it freezes up? Is that something we try to get something of before the true freeze comes along?
Well, it sure doesn't hurt for that to happen. And actually, you know, if you've gone out at all and in areas that maybe that weren't shoveled or plowed or snow removed at and gone out now and tried to remove that, in a lot of cases, you're hitting areas where the frost has come back out of the ground. So we did have frost into the ground maybe 3-4 inches back in November, but then we got all of this heavy snow and that insulating blanket of the snow also pulling the frost out of the ground.
Oh, wow.
Below that snowbank. So if you go now and shovel off an area, you can dig your shovel into the grass and actually see green grass underneath the snow right now. So
wow.
So it will be a little interesting in the spring just to see how all that shapes out. It certainly, for folks that like to dabble in zone, depending on where they live, zone 4, zone 5, or zone 6 plants, just for the fun of it, this is certainly one of those, so far, one of those winters where they're probably not going to have much of a day rate on them because this several feet of snow is the equivalent of adding several area zone increases to the vitality or viability of those plants. So,
It's not possibly harmful, is it, to have this sort of groundwater seeping in at this point? It doesn't make it musty or moldy or anything like that?
No, you know, you may see a little bit with people who maybe didn't cut down their perennials prior to the end of the season, or you may see an increase in things like snow mold in your lawn because you've gotten that heavy cover. So, you know, in the fall, the best thing to do is to cut that lawn a little shorter to decrease that opportunity for mold to form. Also, you know, if we're on that same subject, people may want to look at their especially young or recently planted trees because the voles are going to, of course, be busy underneath the snow line because they it's not cold and they didn't go into hibernation. So they can be doing damage to those young and recently planted trees so folks can still get out there while it's warm here the next few days and try to get some wrap down in around the bases of those trees because they will do moles, things like that will do a tremendous amount of damage to the tree, basically kill it without us even knowing about it because above the snow line everything looks hunky-dory, but down below that mole is doing what they do. They've got to survive and eat, and it's doing that, and at really the cost of that recently planted tree. So.
Yeah. Well, I certainly had a lot of rabbits last winter on top of the snow, eating up a lot of my bushes and scraping the bark off. So.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that, too, you know, with this heavy snow cover again. A lot of their deer, too, a lot of their normal foods has been covered up and really compressed in this heavy snow load. Yeah. And they're going to get hungrier and hungrier. So those plants of ours that are above ground, almost regardless of what they are now, people may want to look at some kind of plan to cover, protect with burlap or netting or something like that to help keep those animals that are really just trying to survive. And that really leads to the other part of the story that I wanted to talk about, which is doing things to feed some of that wildlife that happens to coexist with us in our lands and on our homes and things like that. So doing things like putting out bird feeders, or when my sons were kids, they used to string popcorn and cranberries and things like that, and then we'd put them out on the trees out in the yard, and then the chickadees and nuthatches and woodpeckers and things like that would be around all winter, kind of pecking at those and getting some source of food. And you can do similar kinds of things with putting other foods out if you want to help other animals that you're worried about doing damage to your landscape. You can certainly do things that will hopefully help mitigate that a little bit. So,
yeah.
it's a fun way, you know. And the other thing to do too is with Christmas tomorrow, and folks wondering what to do with those trees. Depending on the variety, some of them are things that animals like to nest in or consume. So you can put those out in your landscape and allow those critters that are around us to enjoy that tree as well. And then if you put some of the popcorn on or cranberries or whatever, it then adds to your landscape well through the winter. And then you can dispose of it properly. Or some folks keep them, and they are really great for cover for birds and certain types of birds that really like that stuff lower to the ground but yeah. still need protection. So,
well, you mentioned that depending on the variety, are there some varieties that are better then for that sort of thing?
Well, they certainly like white pines, and fir are better for that. Things like Scotch pine, they're probably not interested in. Spruce, stuff like that. But the firs and some of the pine trees, specifically the white pine, will work good for that. But for those folks that have a tree and, here in a few days now or a week are going to be taking it down and wondering what to do with it, there are sites all over town, and they can go to the really a good environmental partner, the WLSSD's website, and see what they can drop off those trees. And then they're chipped and then used for mulch for trails and gardens, sort of stuff. So,
right.
So folks don't like the idea or not sure what to do with that tree, if it's a first time or if it's a new time for somebody to have a fresh cut tree. There are places they can take them where they're basically recycled and turned into chips, and then so they're not going into a landfill or anything like that.
Right. I remember back in the old days, they used to just leave them with the trash cans on the sidewalk for the truck to come and pick up. But it's certainly a much better solution. We can put a link later on the website to that link as well to
great.
Let people know.
And then the last thing, a big, huge gift for folks this time of year, is a lot of people are getting poinsettias. And they're beautiful, and we kind of, they seem to sort of, for most folks, run out of steam a little later in January, and certainly by February, most people's poinsettias have found their way into a compost pile or a garbage can or something like that. But there are things you can do with that poinsettia that really it can be a year-to-year houseplant for you, and really an additional source of pride and to say that you've been growing it for years. And we can talk about those more as the season goes along here for winter. But the big thing now is they are very susceptible to drying out. And certainly our environments in our homes, especially when it's cold, 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 like it was a couple weeks ago, our humidity in our houses drops to less than 20%.
Right.
And very dry, so making sure that you keep those poinsettias evenly moist. So in just about any of our indoor homes, that means watering them about every 3 or 4 days. And not heavy watering, but just a light watering. And then keep them in sunshine, as close to sunshine as you can. so an east window, west window, or a south window, and also keep them away from fireplaces and internal sources of heat, like gas fireplaces or the electric fireplaces.
Right, or the furnace, forced air vents, too, I'm sure, are full of
dry. Exactly. Yeah. So they like it a little cool. So, if you have a cooler room, but that's some in it, put it in there, make sure it stays watered. And then, believe it or not, in the spring, once the time has come for us to be able to start planting out in the seed into the ground, you can actually plant that poinsettia out in your yard. Or take it out and put it on your deck, but you can plant it in your yard. Huh. And I know some folks who are, because it's actually a shrub. It comes from South America, and it's a shrub that will get pretty good size, and people can grow it outside and then bring it back in the fall before frost and put it through a period, and the leaves will get red again or whatever they happen to have. And you can spend years enjoying that poinsettia for, what might have been a $10 or $15 purchase. So.
Right. Well, I didn't realize that they would, it makes sense they continue to grow, but after a couple of years, has it become a little too ungainly to bring back in the house every winter?
Well, that's what sort of the fun becomes. Then it becomes, instead of putting up a Christmas tree, you put up your poinsettia tree.
Hey, that's a great idea. Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
So there are things that folks can do with it far better than tossing it or something like that, and a way of hanging on to the memory for the person who gave it to them, mm-hmm. and the joy that they shared with giving somebody
that's fantastic.
Life plant. So
lovely. Wow, Tom, that's a great idea. Thank you.
And then certainly last thing is it's Christmas, and folks are probably out rushing for that last-minute gift and trying to find the perfect gift. Think about giving yourself, meaning giving of your time to that person. When you really think about it, what most of us want is more time with friends, more time with family, more time with loved ones. And give them that. Give them a weekend of helping them in the yard, helping them in their house, helping them shop, taking them for lunch, taking them for tea.
Yeah.
That to me is the best gift of all, and certainly very memorable.
Sure is. Wow, Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris. I hope you have a good holiday season.
Yeah, you too. Take care, Tom.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye. Tom Casper, Master Gardener and past president of the Luth Garden Flower Society, and our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners, Tuesday mornings here on Northland Morning.